Phone the comment line 1850 715 900.
You're very welcome back to the programme. Now, last week, the widow of a cigarette smoker who died of lung cancer in 1996 was awarded $23 billion in damages by a Florida court. While the tobacco company liable, or J. Reynolds, is likely to appeal, lawyers for Cynthia Robinson said that the goal of the lawsuit was to stop tobacco companies from targeting children and young people with their advertising. Well, here in November 2013, the then Minister for Health, James Reilly, published the outline of a bill to introduce plain packaging on tobacco products in Ireland with the aim of making Ireland a smoke-free society by 2025. But just how important is packaging and marketing, and will the removal of branding on packages make any real difference to our smoking rates? Well, to discuss this, I'm joined now by Kathleen O'Mara of the Irish Cancer Society, by John Mallon of the smokers' rights group Forest Éireann, who's in our Cork studio, and by branding expert Sandy Dunlop. Thank you all very much indeed for joining us this morning. Sandy, I might start with you as a branding expert. I mean, James Reilly was quoted as saying that the main way of getting at young people for cigarette companies is through the cigarette box, which, if you like, he said, is the last billboard that they have. Just how important is that last billboard for cigarette companies in your view?
Well, I think James Reilly is right. I think the way branding works is that the objects that we have in our life don't in and of themselves mean anything, but it is through the appropriation of things in the culture that do mean things and the associating of them with the product that you give meaning to the object. And the way that the tobacco industries worked is one classic example is Marlboro, where through the appropriation of the cowboy, they gave an otherwise meaningless object meaning. But
Sandy, wasn't that cowboy? I mean, wasn't a lot of that done through poster billboards, through TV advertising? I mean, the actual pack is red and white for Marlboro. You know, without the TV advertising, without the billboards, can the cigarette companies still make the stories like they used to?
Well, no, they can't, because effectively what's happened is the tobacco industry has been denuded of its possibility to do any branding or marketing. And the last relic, James Reilly's right, the last relic are the colours on the pack.
But do they on their own make much of a difference?
Well, they don't, but there'd still be many people who would be familiar with the narratives and stories that were associated, for example, with the Marlboro Red. So,
But I suppose what we're talking about mostly here is younger smokers, people who have not yet initiated the habit. They probably don't remember the Marlboro Man and the ads around him, and indeed the ads around his death from lung cancer. But, you know, will it impact on younger smokers?
Well,
taking away the packaging?
Well, yes, because what essentially you're doing is you're removing the last vestige of giving any meaning. So essentially you're the ultimate commoditization of the product. There's no branding now. If you take away that, there's nothing. It is the last vestige of being able to give any coolness or meaning.
So you think he's absolutely right to do this? It'll take away the appeal of cigarettes for younger people?
Well, yeah. I mean, in a way, it probably... it might raise another issue, which is that if you go too hard on an area, you could make the category cool because of its prohibition. Because example would be drinking in the States when they had prohibition. You've got to ask, why do people do things? And one of the reasons people smoke is because it's enjoyable to them. And for many people, it's community and friendship. And if you push and push and push, you might introduce the category as being exciting and adventurous. Some of the time you can do something for one reason and have an unintended consequence that you didn't predict. And drinking in the States during the time of prohibition would not only have been enjoyable, it could have been exciting and adventurous, which is why people...
Yeah, and
do
as you say, bonding, the people outside the city, even already outside the pubs, there's great bonding in that kind of group of smokers. I'll come to you in a second, Kathleen, but first of all, we might go to John Mallon, who's in our Cork studio. John, you're with Forest Éireann. I think you get some funding from the tobacco industry, do you, for Forest Éireann?
Yes, we do. We get backing to allow the voice of the actual smoker, their customers, to be heard.
And John, can I ask you, I mean, if we leave aside the issue of initiation of smoking, younger smokers, for you as a smoker, is it going to make any difference if they take the branding off the packet of cigarettes that you buy?
Well, personally, very little, Keelan.
So then why would you be opposed to it?
Well, on several grounds. It's a ridiculous idea. The purpose of this, apparently, is to make the boxes unattractive to young people. Now, number one, young people under 18, it's illegal for them to buy tobacco and illegal to sell it to them. Number two, we already have a law in place that actually hides all tobacco products behind a wall. So they can't see it at point of sale. They actually have to go in and ask by name. Number three, the plain packs are adorned with these disgusting images, which you would only see in a medical textbook. They're of diseased limbs and parts.
Are they going to be there anyway, though, even on the branded packets?
Perhaps they're just going to be much larger. They're prominent. But the idea of this, again, is part of the denormalisation. It's almost an invitation to hatred of smokers. Look at them with those pathetic boxes.
That's a bit of an extrapolation, though, isn't it, John? I mean,
well, not
it
really.
Remember,
Keelan, this is all about denormalising, which is an awful thing. If we were an ethnic group, we would have a huge case to be made. Denormalisation is not a very nice thing in a tolerant society. And we object strongly to that. However, I have no difficulty with people taking up smoking and quitting. It's the freedom angle of it that we're concerned with. Kathleen herself, your next speaker, took up smoking, was free to do so, and was also free to quit. And that's the way we would like to leave it. And we believe that probably smoking over the years, as has been happening, will drift out of fashion of its own accord.
John, but just to go back to the basic issue here of taking the branding off packaging, I mean, leaving aside your other issues around smoking, it seems to me you're saying that young people, it's not going to make any difference to them because they shouldn't be seeing the branding anyway, and to existing smokers, it's not going to make any difference because they know what they smoke. So
exactly.
Why does it matter? Why are you opposed to it?
Well, I'm opposed to it because, again, it's another extension of denormalisation. Have a go at smokers. We've a lot wrong with our health service that isn't being dealt with. And in the meantime, the easy target always is we'll have a go at smokers. We'll make fun of those again. That's what we object to.
And you think it's about making fun of smokers? You don't think it's about protecting young people from initiation of smoking?
Not at all. And incidentally as well, Keelan, I enjoy the odd pint of beer and a glass of wine on Sundays. And it would seem to me that once these plain packs happen on cigarettes, there's a precedent set. And how many people would like to see a diseased liver on their bottle of wine on the Sunday table? Because there's no reason. It's the same logic and the same ideas behind it. The precedent would be very bad in Irish law. Plus, it would leave us open, of course, to the citizens, as we've seen from the banks, will end up picking up the tab if tobacco companies do sue this country. So I think it's far too early to judge. The Australian experience was at the retailers at the end of the year brought their figures out. There had been no change after 12 months of plain packaging. I saw a study recently from Australia that said there was a fall, but it was done over 3 years, not over 1 year, and like every other country.
Okay, well, we'll talk about the Australian model in just a moment. But I mean, to bring you in, Catherine O'Mara from the Irish Cancer Society, I mean, you know, does John have a point there that this is about the denormalisation of smoking, that we already have the information smoking's bad for you? Like, maybe we should lighten up a bit at this point?
No, it's not about, it certainly isn't about stigmatising smokers. It is about protecting young people.
Denormalisation.
Yes, it is about denormalisation. In fact, the removal from the point of sale, you know, that's about denormalisation, removing, you know, smoking from playgrounds, that kind of thing. That's about denormalisation. That's about having young people not see buying cigarettes, for instance, in the same way as buying milk or bread or sweets even, which it has been in the past. You know, just looking at it as one of those things that you do. Now, ourselves and the Heart Foundation commissioned some research last year, focus group research among teenagers, just to get back to the branding issue, and you know what it revealed, and the children that we spoke to, 15 and 16 year olds, some of them were smokers, some of them weren't smokers, but when they looked at the existing packs, even with the health warnings on them, what they associated them with, some of them, not all of them in fact, were with glamour, with fun, with style, with status. But when they looked at the plain packs, basically what it does is it takes away any of those positive feelings or status about smoking. And in fact, the figures from Australia would indicate that it's a runaway success. The drop in smoking over the last 3 years has been in 15%, the biggest single drop, and they're now at 12%.
Let's just fill people in on what's happened in Australia. They're ahead of us in terms
They brought in plain packs in December 2012. So they've been in for about a year and a half. The first thing that happened was very interesting, was that smokers started to complain that the taste of the cigarettes was not as nice as it was. They complained to the cigarette manufacturers that they changed the recipe. They hadn't changed the recipe. This was the effect of the pack, of the stripping away of the colour, the glamour, the nice look about it. They started to hide the cigarette packs, you know, outdoors or in the pub or whatever, under their phones or under the newspaper. They didn't want to be seen with the packs. So that reinforces that negativity. So they've, you know, it also, they also had the quitline number on it, and the number of calls to the quitline went up by 78% immediately.
And did the number of smokers go down?
Yes, the number of smokers has gone down massively.
What's the percentage?
It's now 12.8%.
12.8%.
Which is, you know, the second lowest after Sweden. Sweden has the lowest smoking rate in the world at 11%.
We're at about what, 20?
We're at 21.5%. So it's the biggest single drop in Australia. And they have a lot of anti-smoking measures.
Sorry, just to be clear, Kathleen, what was the actual drop? It's down to 12.8, but what did it come from?
It went from 15%. I'm just looking for my figure here. It went down. Yes, its smoking rate fell by 15%. It's now at 12.8%. And in December 2012, plain packaging was introduced. You have all of 2013 and half of 2014.
So the evidence from Australia would say that it does work. John, you're saying...
Yes, absolutely.
Your stats would say that it hasn't worked in Australia. I mean,
I'm only quoting from the Retailers Magazine of Australia, where the retailers were asked to report their figures. The figures showed that in some areas, in fact, there'd been a slight increase than cigarette purchasing. But the mention of Australia is interesting. Australia uniquely has a brand of cigarette in a 20 box called Manchester. There is no such brand manufactured by any tobacco company. Manchester is a construct or a creation, if you like, of the criminal fraternity. They've created their own brand. And if you have plain packaging in this country, I can absolutely assure you that the only place you'll be able to get the so-called attractive pack is from the criminal fraternity, the smugglers. And there are many devices you can now buy online. I was sent two of them by a journalist from the Sunday Times. A plain plastic box that the cigarette box fits in. It's completely hidden, and you can actually online personalise that box with a photograph of your family pet or whatever you like. So the idea that these boxes will in some way have smokers embarrassed or hiding their pack, they can hide them easily enough if they wish. They're normally in the pocket anyway. So I really, and the only time a box comes out of the pocket is with smokers together outside the door in this country. They're hidden in the shop. So altogether, it's a complete and utter waste of time. It's unnecessary. Just another go at smokers with no end result to it. And I agree with your branding expert. The brands on cigarette boxes themselves differentiate one brand from another. The brands don't in any way attract anybody. Non-smokers aren't attracted into the shops by the gorgeous coloured boxes and demanding to purchase them. That's absolute nonsense.
Yeah, once again, John, it does seem circular there that if the brands don't matter, it doesn't matter if you take them off.
No, in fact, Keelan, what would matter greatly is if responsible people in the Irish Cancer Society and the Heart Foundation would start promoting e-cigarettes, because they are probably the biggest single determinant in the fall of
a whole other argument.
It is a whole
and
other
I know
argument.
You're very opposed to e-cigarettes.
Well, no, we're not very opposed to e-cigarettes. What we're saying is we need the evidence to show that they work, and there are already
concerns. I can
forward
you about 20 studies on
e-cigarettes. There are already concerns, John, being raised about the effect on people of inhaling and smoking nicotine, of just inhaling pure nicotine over on a consistent basis.
It isn't pure nicotine.
Let's leave the e-cigarettes, because that really is a whole other argument around, again, normalisation of renormalisation of smoking through e-cigarettes. But the issue of smuggling, Kathleen, that is something that is of concern here, that if you take away the legal sale of branded cigarettes, you are going to play into the hands of smugglers.
No, you're not. First of all, currently, all cigarette packs have to have a tax stamp on them. It's a sophisticated marking. Now, the new packs will have to have the same sophisticated marking. And it is very, very difficult to replicate that. But, you know, let's look at the facts. And these are the up-to-date figures from the Revenue Commissioners just published. The rate of illicit cigarettes coming into Ireland is actually dropping. It's dropping at a rate of about 1% a year. In the last few years in particular, the Revenue Commissioners and the Customs seem to be having quite a lot of success. And they brought the rate down to 11%. Now, it's interesting. So
11% of cigarettes sold in Ireland are illegal?
Exactly. Only 11%. Now, you'll hear much higher figures coming from various sources. But in actual fact, that's the official figure recently published by the Revenue Commissioners. It's at 11% and it is coming down. The other interesting thing is that most cigarettes being smuggled into Ireland were originally legally manufactured. They've been put into low-cost economies such as, you know, Latvia, Moldova, Russia, Afghanistan. Amazingly, they find their way then into places like the UK and Ireland. So, you know, the vast majority of smuggled cigarettes were originally legally manufactured. Well, only a tiny amount of counterfeit. Only a tiny amount of counterfeit coming in. We don't have any concern that when plain packs come in, that there will be, you know, there'll be a counterfeit, because that simply, it actually isn't happening now. We don't expect it to happen in
but
the future.
Let me go to John there again. I mean, there is that argument that actually smuggled cigarettes play into the hands of the tobacco companies because it gets their product to smokers at a lower cost. And in fact, the only time we hear the tobacco industry giving out about smuggled cigarettes is when people are talking about unbranded cigarettes.
That wouldn't be quite correct, but the problem with the smuggled cigarettes is we have one of the highest tax rates on tobacco in this country. There is a cost of manufacture for any product, the cost of tooling up something to make them, the raw materials and the labour. Now, they can sell cigarettes in Croatia for €1.43 a pack. We sell them here for nearly €10. That's the difference in price. And all it takes is somebody, some criminal mind, to go legally to Croatia, buy them in bulk.
Yeah,
and
I mean,
ship
we're aware
here
of the price difference, John, but isn't it true that it plays into the hands of the tobacco manufacturers that they can get that product they sell in Latvia for €1.40 to an Irish smoker for a fiver, even if it's half price? It allows more smokers to smoke their product.
Well, indirectly, I presume so. I couldn't argue with that. But they're not the ones that are shipping smuggled tobacco into Ireland. I think the customs figures that are given are for the detection rates for a certain period. And I have seen articles in the Examiner down here in Cork and in the other two national dailies suggesting that the smugglers are just getting better at it and that more stuff is slipping through. Certainly, anecdotally, there doesn't seem to be any shortage of the smuggled variety in the streets. And effectively, you know, if I feel sorry for the retailer, because you have to walk into their shop where the stuff is hidden behind a door, ask for what you want by name and pay €10 for it, where there's a guy probably down the street on the street corner will show you an array of them and you pay a fiver to him. Now, in that scenario, I think that the price thing has gone too far. And even excise themselves have said that any further increase won't yield any particular health benefit. They've reached the tipping point of the no-win.
OK. John, thanks. Look, very briefly, Sandy, is there any evidence that this getting rid of the branding on it will work? Have we done it with any other product? I mean, I know you talk about the Coke Pepsi taste. If you take the Coke label off, people don't like it as much.
Well, I don't really know what the evidence is. What I would do is, why not use the techniques of marketing and some of the amazing insights from neuroscience and behavioural economics to make smoking uncool and to make other behaviours cool?
That's a very good point.
Focusing on health. And I think that in Ireland, it's actually happened around drink driving, where the younger generation, it is not cool to drink and drive.
That's
so
right.
There's other very positive ways. I think if you push and push and push against something, you start having unintended negative consequences that you didn't predict. And it may be that all this does is make smuggling easier, you're having a negative intent that you didn't affect. So I would put the energy into how branding works and understanding that, to make other activities cool, make health cool, and the consequence of that could be smoking becomes less and less cool. Branding works because what it's about is great storytelling.
Okay, Catherine, funny, all three of you are agreeing on this one, so maybe Catherine shouldn't be focusing on this.
There actually is some evidence emerging that among young people, smoking is becoming less cool. And certainly we believe that that will be the impact of plain packs. The figures from Australia would indicate that the number of young people starting to smoke is dropping hugely all the time. Okay. So we think that the plain packs over there is working, and we really believe it will work here.
All right. Well, listen, thank you all very much indeed for joining us this morning. Catherine O'Mara, John Mallon and Sandy Dunlop.
Today with Sean O'Rourke on RTE Radio 1.